Doug for the good prayer you led us in a few moments ago. Thank you, Bruce, for leading us in song as we raised our voices in praise to our Almighty God. And thank you, Alvin, for giving us that reading of the scripture there from the book of Hebrews. And I want to again thank each and every one of you for your presence here this afternoon. And this afternoon, I just want to take a few moments to talk to you about the need to be content with the things you have. Going back there to the reading that Alvin just gave to us a moment ago there in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, we learn where the inspired Hebrew writer penned, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." You see, it's important that as children of God that we learn to be content with the things we have, isn't it? We learn about that here in Hebrews chapter 13. And it's important to know that contentment can be defined as a state of happiness and satisfaction, or freedom from care and discomfort. And did you know, without contentment, it is merely impossible to be happy? Did you know that? You see, without contentment, one will always be focused on tangible things. They will be disgruntled and they'll be disheartened, and they will lose sight of being satisfied with the things that they have. So knowing that, let's take a few moments this afternoon to discuss the need to be content with the things that we have. And let's simply begin by asking the question, why should we be content with the things we have? Well, first and foremost, we need to be content with the things that we have because covetousness is condemned in the scriptures. There in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus gives a warning concerning covetousness. Notice that with me. Notice these words of Jesus found there in Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15. Jesus says there, "Take heed and beware of covetousness." And he goes on to say why, when he says, "For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Here Jesus, he's warning us to take heed to ourselves and to beware of covetousness. We learn why we need to beware of covetousness there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. And you recall as good Bible students, there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9, Paul, he said, "Do not be deceived." And then he asked a good question. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God?" And one of those things that he listed there as being unrighteousness was what? Covetousness. Covetousness. You see why Jesus warned us to beware of covetousness now? You see that, don't you? And we go on to learn, as we see there again in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, where the scriptures simply instruct Christians to conduct themselves without what? Covetousness. Covetousness. Again, we need to be content with the things that we have, knowing that covetousness is condemned in the scriptures. We also need to be content with the things that we have because, as we talked about there in Hebrews 13, verse 5, as Christians, we are instructed to be content with such things as we have. Go back there to that verse with me. Let's notice again this instruction of the Hebrews writer found there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. There the Hebrews writer says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." I want you to think about that for a moment. As we've been talking about in our adult Bible class study, the fact that God is the provider of all. We've talked about that a lot lately, haven't we? And we need to be mindful of the fact that God is the provider of all things we have. The things that we have, they're provided to us from God. And whether God gives us much or less, there's still what we have is from God. And we need to be content with what God gives us, don't we? We need to be content with what God gives us. We need to let our conduct be without covetousness, being content with such things as we currently have, knowing that they come from God. But we also need to be content with those things, knowing that God has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. Think about that. When we truly have trust in the Lord our God, when we truly have trust in Him, no matter whether we have much or less, we have that assurance that He's always going to be with us and that He has gave that promise that He will not leave us nor forsake us. That alone should help us in letting our conduct be without covetousness, shouldn't it? Here's another reason for why we should be content with the things we have. We should be content with what we have, knowing that one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. Again, going back there to Luke chapter 12 and verse number 15, and that warning that Jesus gave to beware of covetousness. And after he warned us to beware of covetousness, he simply says, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. You see, what Jesus is saying here is he's saying that a man's life consists of more than material things. Did you know that? Did you know your life consists of more than material things? Jesus says it does. And although there are many today who believe in the philosophy, he who has the most toys wins. Many believe that, right? They believe that their life consists of the things that they possess. And the more they possess, the greater their life. Many feel that way. Many believe that. There's no truth to that whatsoever, is there? No truth to that. Why is that not true? Because what's going to happen to those material things once our soul's required of us? Are we going to be able to take them with us? We're not, are we? We're not going to be able to take them with us. So what value are they going to be to us? Then, they're not going to be of any value to us, are they? They're not going to be of any value to us. That's why, as Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 6, that we need to not store up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. But store up treasures where? In heaven. You see that? That's simply because one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And it is folly. It is folly for one to make life and their life's a priority to gain as much possessions as they can. Because, as we've already talked about, we're not going to be able to take those things with us, are they? Are we? They're going to be left behind for another. But here's another reason for why we should be content with the things we have. We should also be content with what we have, knowing that godliness with contentment is great gain. Did you know that? Did you know that godliness coupled with contentment is great gain? See, the Apostle Paul reminds us of that fact there in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse number 6. And when you think about Paul's statement here, when you think about the fact that godliness with contentment is great gain, we need to recognize that a truly godly and content individual is one who has that sense of inner peace and satisfaction that no one else has. A godly, content individual, they can truly be at peace. They can truly be at peace, can't they? You ever think about that? And that is why it is a thing of great gain. We've talked for a few moments why we should be content with the things we have. Now let's bring this sermon home this afternoon by talking about a few things that can help us be content with the things we have. And that first thing I want to suggest to us this afternoon that can help us be content with the things we have is simply fear the Lord. Did you know that the wise man said there in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. I want you to think about that. Here the wise man said, he who respects the Lord, he who fears the Lord, respects the Lord. He says that fear of the Lord leads to life. And you think about why that is, because when one respects the Lord, it's going to lead them to obey Him, isn't it? Which in result is going to lead to what? Eternal life. It's going to lead to eternal life. And the wise man said, he who has that will abide in satisfaction. You want satisfaction? You want contentment? Fear the Lord, as we learn here in Proverbs 19, verse 23. But I also suggest to us another thing that can help us be content with the things we have. And that is to trust the Lord. We learn about that there in the 37th Psalm. Go with me in your Bibles, if you will, there to Psalm 37. And notice these inspired words of the psalmist found here in Psalm 37, beginning in verse 3. And by the way, this Psalm 37 is a psalm of David. And notice what he says here. He said, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Now watch verse 4. He said, delight yourself also in the Lord. Why? And He shall give you the desires of your heart. You want the desires of your heart? What did David say to do? Trust in the Lord. Delight in Him. And He will give you the desires of your heart. You see, God, again, as we talked about earlier, He is the provider of all things, isn't He? And the Lord, our God, He always knows what's best for us, doesn't He? He always knows what is best for us. He knows what we need. And here we learn in Psalm 37, the need to trust in the Lord and to do good. The need to delight ourselves in the Lord, knowing that by doing so, He shall give us the desires of our heart. But I also suggest to us this afternoon another thing that can help us be content with the things that we have. And that is simply stop comparing yourself to others. You see, how many today are always comparing themselves to what their neighbor has? Or to what their older sibling has? Or to what their co-workers have? How many today are always comparing themselves to others? And comparing themselves to what others have in regard to what they don't have? I venture to say there's a lot of that goes on today, isn't there? You've heard the old saying before, trying to keep up with the Joneses. You've heard that, haven't you? There are many today who are always trying to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak. And we need to be mindful of the fact that if we're going to be content with the things that we have, we're going to have to stop comparing ourselves with others, aren't we? When I think about that, I think about what Paul said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. And notice what Paul says here in 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 12. He said, for we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. Did you know that? Paul says it's not wise to compare yourself with others, is it? We need to be mindful of that. And we need to be aware of comparing ourselves to others, comparing what they have in regard to what we don't have. And when we stop doing that, it's going to help us be better equipped to be content with the things that we do have. I also suggest to us another thing that can help us be content with the things that we have. And that is simply by counting our many blessings and be thankful for what we do have. You want to know, there are many today who are discontent simply because they're always thinking about the things that they don't have instead of thinking about the things that they do have. But you want to know something? If we would just stop focusing upon those things that we don't have or those things that we want to have, and be thankful for what we do have, we're going to be content, aren't we? We're going to be content. You see, again, God is the one who supplies all things. And there in Psalm 103 and verse 2, again, the psalmist being David here, he expressed, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Remember that. Stop and think about all the benefits that the Lord has supplied to you even this day. I'm going to tell you, there are many for each and every one of us. And we need to count our many blessings each and every day. Being thankful for the many blessings that each of us get to enjoy each and every day. And we need to be thankful for each and every one. And when we do so, when we focus upon our blessings instead of focusing on what we don't have, it's going to help us be content with what we do have. Remember that. And remember Paul's instruction there in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 15. You know what he said there? He simply said, "Be thankful." Be thankful. We all need to be thankful, don't we? Because the Lord has been so good to each and every one of us. But I also suggest to us one more thing this afternoon that can help us be content with the things we have. And that I simply learned to be content in whatever state you find yourself in. There in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 11, the Apostle Paul writes, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." Apostle Paul learned to be content in whatever state he found himself in. And you want to know, there's some valuable lessons there for us in that verse in regard to contentment. One of those lessons is simply the fact that contentment is a learned disposition. Did you know that? Contentment's a learned disposition. It's something that we need to learn, just as the Apostle Paul learned. And you think about what Paul said here in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 11, how he learned to be content in whatever state he found himself in. Paul was content in the good times and in the bad times, wasn't he? Paul was content when he had much and when he had less, wasn't he? And you want to know something? We too need to be content in whatever state we find ourselves in. We need to be content as the Apostle Paul was content. And you want to know, contentment, it is learned by realizing that when the necessities of life are provided, one has all that is needed. When the necessities of this life are provided to you, think about that. When you have a roof over your head, food in your belly, clothes on your back, when you have the essentials of this life provided to you, you really have all you need. You really have all you need. And when you realize that, when you learn that, it's going to help you be content in whatever state you find yourself. Remember that. And may we all strive to be content with the things we have. I now ask the question, are you content with the things that you have? Are you? If not, why not? If not, why not? For as we have discussed this afternoon, contentment is important. And every Christian needs to be content with such things as they have. as we talked about a few moments ago, one of those things that's going to help us be content with the things we have is fearing the Lord. How about you? Do you fear the Lord? Do you have respect for the Lord? If so, does your respect for the Lord lead you to obey Him and His will? Maybe there's one here this afternoon who has not yet submitted themselves to the Lord and His will. We have an opportunity to do that this very hour. For if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can make a change in your life. You can repent of your sins. You can confess Jesus Christ, and you can be baptized into Christ this very hour for the remission of your sins. And you too can have that hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. Titus chapter 1, verse 2. And may we all always remember that the buck doesn't stop at baptism, but rather we need to keep on keeping on. We need to continue to remain faithful unto death. For as Jesus promised in the latter part of Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will, but maybe you've strayed from that straight narrow path that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins, confess them to God, ask Him for His forgiveness, and get back on that straight narrow path that leads to life this very hour while you still have that opportunity to do so. So if there would be one here this afternoon, we'd be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation. Whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, Bruce is Slayer.